Well, a God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. We've been missing for a few days, and for that, I apologize to you, to those who participate with the God School. I have a little understanding how important the message is, that faith might continue for not consistently presenting the word. I apologize, I'm not going to go into explanation. But we are in the book of Galatians, Paul's impassioned message, even to the church today. We covered last time through the 16th verse of the 7th of the second chapter of Galatians. Give me a moment. Let me get warmed up. Let me get warmed up in the word. Let's just read the word. 16th verse. Knowing. And I'm going to read it with proper understanding. Knowing that a man is not made righteous by the works of the law, but here's how one's made righteous: by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have faith in Jesus Christ, that we might be made righteous by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be made righteous. Now Paul's going to go on and make an argument here. He says, but if, while we seek to be made righteous by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? King James says, God forbid they take a little license. Paul's saying, certainly not, absolutely not. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now, look. This was a mouthful. Those of you who get it right out the gate, God. Thank God. those who, like me, have to spend a little time, and after having spent time and digging in, taking off some of the layers of language and of traditions of men, do come to find the treasure of God's Word. And having found the treasure, understand why Paul is so impassioned when he's speaking to this church, Galatia, I believe speaking to the church in Jesus Christ in general, that they might keep their eye on that which God has made available. Which, in fact, is pleasing to God. Now, we could spend weeks on this 16th verse, but we're not going to. I just want to point out, when I have tours in the museum, I talk about that phrase, the faith of Jesus Christ. And in Romans 3:23, it says, 3:22, let's go to 21. It says, but now, and it is a righteousness, we're talking about a righteousness of God, but now a righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all the faithing ones. And I ask the people, you have your Bible with you, or do you have, an app on your phone? And I said, would you read the verse for me? And if they read something other than the King James, they say of this 3:22 passage, which is by faith in Christ, which is by belief in Christ, which is by believing in Christ. Folks, I'm not a King James only person, but in this particular passage, which is witnessed in Galatians 2, it is correct when it says, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. Paul repeats it here in 2:16, where he says, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. And I give an illustration, and I said, so many people are going to come to quote unquote, and it's, I hate to even pass on the tradition, but for purposes of understanding, when they come to the pearly gates and they say, let us in. And the question is, why? And the responder's response is, well, I believed in Jesus Christ. That's something that's coming from within them. Folks, God isn't interested in what comes from within us. He's interested in our grabbing hold of what He has made available to us. Not what flesh can give to God, but what God has given to flesh. It's not my faith in Christ that brings righteousness. It is the faith that is of Christ, that comes from Christ. Jesus Christ was a father. He stepped from heaven's throne. He gave up everything that he'd known from before the worlds were formed, wherein he was face to face with God. Didn't think it took anything away from God to be equal with God. And he gave it all up. And he became man. He became kin with us. That he might redeem us. But in that act of redemption, he died. He was dead. He was buried. He was in the grave. No more life. And God, and this is the foundation of the whole Christian faith, the whole Christian journey, but God raised him up as he had promised that he would. Christ, faith, God. Christ acted on the promise of God because God said, if you do this, Jesus, I will raise you up and give you a name which is above every name, that everything in heaven and in earth and below the earth shall give glory unto your name. Christ acted on that promise. It's his faith. It's the faith of Christ. That brings the righteousness Paul's talking about here. And we're going to explain that soon. Paul says, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be made righteous. I'm transliterating. But if while we seek to be made righteous, a better translation is, in Christ, we ourselves are found to be sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? You know, in this process, in this plan of God, one thing or a thing the church often misses hang on, just hang on, we're going to complete that in a moment. It says, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? Absolutely, certainly not. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Paul has put to bed the law, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, the other 613 laws, many of which were ceremonials, ceremonies or observations of holy days, that if you did all these things, that you'd be made righteous, that you would be determined righteous, because God says, for the man that doeth them shall live in them, Leviticus 18:5. But now Paul's going to explain something. For I, through the law, am dead to the law. No prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation, Peter tells us in one of his more lucid moments. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Romans 7:4 says, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him that was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. The sixth verse of that seventh chapter says, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. And I'm adding this, it's another place in Scripture, for the Spirit brings life, but the letter, death. God in Jesus Christ, in the good news of the gospel, is speaking of life, and we're speaking of life. And not of the law, which brings death. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Let's look at some verses could give witness to that part of the 19th verse. Romans 6:11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Reckon. Logisomai. It has to do with speaking it forth, reconciling, getting the books straight, claiming the promises of God. And acting upon them. I want to go to another place where Paul is speaking to another church. If we stay with the analogy of the pertinency of Paul's message to the Galatians as being pertinent to the church today, all of Paul's writings are pertinent to the church today. He says, "For through the law I am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." He says in the 14th verse of the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians, "Please, not only open your ears, open your hearts to hear this, that it may become an integral part of your life of faith." And he says in the 14th verse, "Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not live henceforth unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Because of this, from now on," I had to deal almost in God's kindness when he reminds me of this, I have to deal with this almost daily. "Because of this, from now on, know we no man after the flesh." In another letter, Paul says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers," the Ephesian letter tells us. "No, we know man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we no more." He's not in the flesh anymore. We have the records of his fleshly life. But he's raised. He's seated now at the right hand of the majesty on high, God our Father. Listen. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Here's what it looks like. Here's what it sounds like. Here's what it was. That God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors, that is, sent in the place of. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. Be reconciled unto God, for he has made him to be sin for us. Let me eliminate the pronouns. For God has made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is the righteousness that is spoken about throughout the New Testament. This is the righteousness. This is the good news of the gospel. We are made the righteousness of God in Christ. Seen by God. As though we are Christ. And yet for 2,000 years, the church doesn't recognize what God has done for us in Christ. They say, oh, yeah, yeah, they give lip service. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But now we're going to improve what God has already done for you, that we might see it. Remember the first church council? We taught on it a couple of weeks ago. Paul declared it. Peter witnessed to it. But James, the so-called brother of Christ, who, because of some, whatever it was, I'm not sure, blood relationship to Christ, is appointed. It had nothing to do with following Christ. There's no record that James ever followed Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. In fact, there's record he thought he was crazy. That is, James thought Jesus was crazy. How's that for a frame of reference? Paul declared it. Peter gave witness to it. But James declared, yeah, 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 the grace, that's great. But, you know, he sends the letter to the churches, to the Gentile churches, but now at least keep the kosher laws. Paul exposes the attitude of the church when he brings Titus with him to Jerusalem, who was not circumcised, but the spies in the church, those who are going to look on the flesh to see what their relationship to God is and judge that relationship by the flesh, they wanted to see whether he was circumcised. They sneak into the toilets and check out whether or not. What a sick picture. Too much of that sickness invades the church today. And that's why, with passion, we have come back to this letter of Galatians. For Paul says, "For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live." That's that new creature in Christ. He says, "Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul says, in the back to that sixth chapter of Romans, and we're going to, as we go through this letter of Galatians, we're going to see the consistency of this gift of God, Paul the Apostle, to the church of Jesus Christ. We're going to see the consistency of the message. He says, in the sixth chapter of Romans, the sixth verse, beginning in the sixth verse, "Knowing this, that our old man, that is our flesh, is crucified with him," that is with Christ, "that the body of sin might be destroyed." If you go to a concordance, you would find the word would be better translated, "that the body of sin might be of no effect," because this old body is still here. This old body is still sinning, but it's not having an effect because we are new creatures in Christ, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Paul says, "I'm crucified with Christ." Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe, we faith, we act on that promise of God. We faith that we shall also live with him. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. The word is agapao. I'm not going to go into any long description and or definition of this word. I'll just give you this one short understanding of it. It means to take pleasure in the thing which is loved, to prize it above other things, to be unwilling to abandon it, or to do without it. That is to say, unwilling to live without it. Who loved me And I hope each and every one of you would repeat this and make it personal, who loved me and gave himself for me. And Paul, he didn't write chapter and verse, but as it's presented to us today, the end of this second chapter, he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I want to see if I can present this word being translated here, frustrate. Tell me what you think. The translators do it justice? The word is etheteo. It's a verb. It means to do away with what has been laid down, to set aside, to annul, to make of no effect, to ignore, to slight, to reject, to nullify, make void, to remove out of an appointed proper place, to reject as invalid, refuse to respect, to despise, to cancel, to disannul, to set aside, because perceived to lack value, to disregard, to pass over, to refuse to acknowledge. Paul puts grace, the grace of God, in its appointed place, and he says, I'm not moving it from that place. I'm not going to make it void. I'm not going to nullify it. I'm not going to cancel it. I'm not going to disregard it. Because it is grace. That makes available through faith the righteousness of God. He's not interested in our righteousness. He says our righteousness are as filthy rags. I'm not going to give you the literal of that today. Let it suffice. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man, it says to remind us in the first verse of the opening chapter of Galatians. It says in the 11th verse, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel, the good news which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul is giving this impassioned argument in this part of his letter to his dearly beloved church, that is, to his dearly beloved possession of God, which he was given the care of In the 12th verse of this second chapter, it says, "For before that certain came from James," he's talking about Peter, "but there were those in the church that not of man, neither by man." Paul says he received it not of man, but there were those who were in the church that had a message of man, of James. Well, at least you gotta show us a little bit that you're a Christian. Paul says, "Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." We're in this present evil world still, but God is faithful. And like David, we can put the future in the past tense. In this faith walk, and have every confidence and say, in the spirit, in the inward man, in the new creature, in the new creation in Christ Jesus, that he has delivered us from this present evil world, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. That is, folks, no doubt. That's the God School for today.